Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy, Spanish Grand Prix post-practice edition. Yes, we are here to discuss the new and improved Circuit de Barcelona Catalunya. And how buzzing are you after practice, Tom Bellingham?
Oh, what a circuit. You say new. Old. It's gone back to how it was in 2006, and yes, it's not made it any more of a thrill. But fingers crossed.
Speak for yourself, mate. I've been absolutely on the edge of my seat over the last couple of corners of that lap. But before we get into any more Spanish Grand Prix chat, I need to read out a 5-star review from one of you. This one comes in from Waveform 2022 from the UK. Great F1 podcast, which has out of this world presenters. Probably just because we don't know anything and like our brains are so out of this universe because we're washed, who deliver so many great laughs and great F1 information, which makes my day. Thank you for making this out of this world podcast. Wow. Look at us go, yeah, Tommy.
We shouldn't even be on this planet. Clearly.
We have reached new heights. Thank you so much, Waveform. Now, let's get into some free practice one chat then, shall we? And talk about how it looked like it was the end of the world with Max Verstappen going over 3/4 of a second faster than anybody else. And then you had a very close sort of second all the way down to 16th. Do you want to share a little tweet that you put out? After FP1, Tommy?
Yeah, everyone from Mexico just skipped the video now. But yeah, there was the end of FP1. The gap between Verstappen and Perez was actually larger than it was between Perez and Bottas in 16th, which I guess shows that, I know it's only practice, but yeah, Max delivered a very scary lap compared to the rest of the field. But then it just showed that, boy, is it close between everyone else.
It certainly is. Esteban Ocon up there in P3. Nick De Vries did a very good lap as well to start making us think, hello, is this the turning point for AlphaTauri and for De Vries after his drive to survive camera following in Monaco? That's Tom Bellingham down on the ground. Exclusive news. So that was interesting to see. Alonso was down in 6th. You had the Ferraris not exactly making many moves. And also the Mercedes as well, riding on board with them. They looked like a bit of a handful, to say the least, didn't they?
Yeah, the Mercedes haven't looked great all day, which is a worry because this is, I guess, a more normal, their first kind of normal circuit where they can do their running. And this is, of course, a test venue where you get a lot of different types of corners. So if you're not quick here, you're going to struggle. And Mercedes don't look particularly good, even though they've got side pods now.
Not as good as we thought they were going to be, at least not yet. They might just be dialing in those new side pods, which of course will need a bit of running. Now let's move to free practice 2, where you look at that timesheet and you go, maybe it's all not over.
You're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah, kind of. Although I feel as though Max Verstappen was probably running his engine at around 50% power. That's the feeling I get from this when I see how close everyone else seems to have got. Or perhaps someone from Formula One has had a little word in Max's ear and gone, you're not supposed to go that quick so early. And he's just dialed it in a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah, it is hard to know how representative that is. Particularly with someone like Nico Hülkenberg up in third. But again, I mean, you look at the actual gaps. I know it's a season where, and understandably, a lot of fans are frustrated by Red Bull dominance, but the midfield and everything is unbelievably close. Like, one small mistake for them it's going to change your qualifying from like 18th to 8th or something. So a lot of a mixed up order really for FP2.
Let's not forget as well, with the removal of that last chicane, it also takes out kind of another variable of drivers' laps. So we've got a shorter lap now, 1 minute 13, 1 minute 14, which means the gaps will naturally get closer as well. So that will be interesting going into qualifying. You could have a few scalps just through some of the drivers not actually putting in a performance in Q1 and Q2 to perhaps take them where their performance, where they belong. Question from Manny Green 14. Will Alonso win? A simple question with, I thought it was going to be a simple answer after FP1. FP2, the hope starts to kill you.
Where you go,
maybe Red Bull aren't as far clear as FP1 suggested. I still am very much of the opinion that Red Bull have something in the locker. Verstappen first, Perez fourth in FP2. I don't know. I just think Red Bull have got that edge. But I think the belief of Alonso getting another podium is certainly back on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think Fernando looking like he's going to be best of the rest again, going for 6 podiums out of 7, which is insane. Perez, I don't know, maybe beatable, but I do think Red Bull have just something in hand. They looked unbelievable, particularly through that final sector. Might even suit their car even more, that they just can show off their unbelievable grip, where it just looks like it's a Scalextric's car and just completely gripped in compared to everyone else. I think Fernando will need some kind of miracle, like some rain or something, if he's going to beat the Red Bulls on pace. But boy, are there a lot of memes about this whole 33 thing.
So many memes, so much aligning the stars. Fernando going for his 33rd win. He's been part of 33.33333333% of all Formula One races, which just highlights how many races we have these days. Not that Fernando has somehow gone back in time and raced in 1950, which is what that stat kind of seems to suggest. And then other things, like the 33rd
Spanish race,
Spanish Grand Prix, and so many more things. And what I reply to this is, has everyone forgotten that Max Verstappen's old race number was 33?
I know. And also everyone brings it up every single time. I'm sure it was Saudi where Crofty was like, Fernando Alonso's pit box is number 33 today. That's a sign, isn't it? And then we're just going to get to like race 15 where Verstappen and Perez just won every single race. And they're like, Fernando Alonso took 33 steps to get into the press conference today. That could be a sign.
Anything, the we'll copium is so strong here for an Alonso win. And look, all it takes, especially if Perez is beatable, is a Verstappen DNF or a Verstappen problem. And all of a sudden, Fernando is thrust into a potential race-winning situation. So I wouldn't say it is completely off the cards. And when I said earlier about, it's the hope of Alonso being back on the podiums back on, it was just purely from our predictions podcast we did, where both of us believed Mercedes were going to be back sort of towards the front with their new upgrades. But it hasn't seemed to work out on Friday, at least. It has looked like a handful, hasn't it?
Yeah, the Mercs not looking very good at all.
They finished 8th for George Russell in FP2 and Hamilton 11th.
Yeah, they're in that mid-pack, which is unbelievably close, to be fair. You've got a second separating Nico Hülkenberg in 3rd and Albon in 19th.
Or even 1st to 17th. You could even say that, Max is beatable, by Yuki Tsunoda, you could say,
could happen. It is looking a lot closer. I've just noticed Max Verstappen, look how many laps he did in FP2.
33. Oh my God, it's over. I don't know what it's saying, but it's happening.
And completely irrelevant, Nick De Vries also did 33.
Wait, did you just call Nick de Vries irrelevant? That was really harsh.
Well, completely irrelevant to Fernando Alonso and Max Verstappen.
And the completely irrelevant Nick de Vries. Did you not say that he's being filmed by DTS? He is very relevant.
Sorry, that came across far more savage than it was meant to.
It's good, we laughed it off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own f***ing out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Question, well, I know it's actually a statement from Telfarino 147. Lance Stroll, discuss. What can we say about this man? 18th in FP2. I feel like he went for a few different flying laps as well on those soft tyres towards the end. I went for biggest good surprise for him. I was hoping he'd at least score a point.
He's not fancied it, has he?
No, he's done the opposite of what I thought he was going to do. He's just going to sit up, take notice, and really start to get something out of that Aston Martin, but a stinker of a Friday for Lance.
If he manages to not even get like a P7, P8 to just sort you out with a loophole for that biggest good surprise, I mean, that's an absolute
flopping him for the rest of the year if he does that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he's flopping him left, right and centre.
Your prediction's looking quite good this year of the fact that Alonso is going to just whitewash him, exactly like he did in those sectors as well with that savage graphic. But
yes, that graphic is the best thing I've ever seen. The person that made that, so it's essentially a track dominance graphic. You might have seen it previously, where they essentially outline where one driver is quicker than the other over the course of a lap, and they compared Alonso and Stroll, and Alonso was just dominating everywhere. And I'm like, whoever made that knew that was going on Twitter, because just what a meme.
Lawrence Stroll went straight down to the graphics
who
department.
Who was that?
Literally like walking down the paddock like, oi, sort this out. It's not, because Lance did all right against Vettel. Like, he wasn't terrible. I think he held his own. Decent, he did pretty decent. I think Lawrence has underestimated Fernando Alonso and just how well Lance will be able to do against him, because my God, is he absolutely owning him this year.
He certainly is, to the level of which none of us really thought it would be up in P2, of course, for the end of FP2 for Fernando, and potentially another podium on the way. And what a surprise that would be for the Spanish fans after last year and him moving to Aston Martin. And no one seeing this happening is quite unbelievable. A lot of discussion as well around Lance Stroll, just in general, and his seat and whether it's under threat. I don't for a second believe that his seat is under threat. The only way it's under threat is if Lance himself wakes up and says, "Dad, I'm sorry. I can't keep trying to make your dreams come true through me. I don't want to race an F1 anymore. Bye." That's the only way I see his seat being under threat.
Yeah. Yeah, same. They're not giving up on him now. He's finally got a podium challenging car, like the second best car on the grid potentially. So, yeah. He's there until he decides that he wants to become a BMX rider or something instead, or whatever. You know, just sort me this out.
Right, let's move away from Lance Stroll and talk about the removal of the last chicane, which is something we've been absorbing. The fact that we were intently watching free practice today on Twitch really kind of shows, and it being Spain as well, that any kind of change like that, we were like, okay, all right, it's the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya, going to become one of the most iconic, incredible tracks of all time. I am of the opinion that it's going to do wonders for the racing. I am actually looking forward to seeing how not only does it set up potential overtakes into turn one, but also how it's going to affect strategy. There's talk of it being a two, perhaps even a three stop race on Sunday. Of course, if it's raining, it's going to change that a little bit, but that in itself is interesting. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's a shorter lap, which means qualifying should be a little bit more interesting as well, by the fact that there should be less of a differential between the drivers. So I think it's a great change that they've made. We haven't seen the racing yet. It could cause the biggest DRS train of all time, and it'll be terrible. But I have positive hopes for it.
There's absolutely no way that it can be any worse, because that there's a reason why everyone thought that was the worst chicane in Formula One, because it did separate the cars. You can't have a slow, clumsy, single file chicane right before the biggest overtaking point. It just separated the cars out so much because it was hard to follow. Now, you know, you'll be able to go through those corners and get a better run through that corner. That's one of the main things that's going to help. But like you say, tire wear should hopefully make the race even better as well, because boy, have we been praying for something other than a one stop. And I will say right now that if that race is a one stop, Pirelli, you've got something to answer for. And look, we're not going to be happy. We'll send our P1 army down to Pirelli, and we'll camp outside with signs with saying two stops please, and start a little protest movement.
I'm sure they are shaking in their boots after Tom Bellingham's called out Pirelli there with the P1 fam. Yes, it's going to be interesting. They're of course running a test tire as well. For those that saw a team wondered what that was, it was basically a new structure, a new compound of hard tire that the teams have to do a certain amount of mileage on to help Pirelli get some data from that. But it can't be a one stop. It surely cannot be a one stop. With how much of a beating those tires are going to get, you'd imagine the undercut is going to be quite strong around here. So that could make for some interesting racing as well come Sunday. A few complaints, though, through those last couple of corners around bumps, especially the final corner, bouncing all over the place. The word porpoising coming back into the mouths of Formula One drivers. So I can see those bumps potentially being a problem, not for the likes of Red Bull that have an amazing car, but the ones that are slightly, maybe just having to get that extra half a tenth to make it through out of Q1 or out of Q2, you could see a few errors, a massive swapper there, and potentially a big mistake, potentially a big crash as well. So it's all about confidence going into there, isn't it?
Yeah, you need confidence to be able to do it. There was a fantastic video actually that you showed me when we were in Monaco that someone had got at one of the chicanes, and it was the cars bouncing over the second part of the swimming pool, and someone was filming it, and every car goes over it, and the back end sort of squirreling around and flying around. The Red Bull comes through, and it corrects itself immediately. It's like there's no kind of drama at all. Yeah, it is like a Scale Electric's car, like just going through. So it's absolutely perfect. So that's something that Red Bull will enjoy even more, you know, being able to go through that corner and probably just settle nicely on the bumps. But the other cars that have had these porpoising issues and stuff are probably going to be like, this still exists. I thought we'd got rid of that. Because we've not really heard that word in a very, very long time now. But clearly it's still an issue here. So yeah, that could also be something that helps improve the overtaking as well, because if, you know, people make a mistake coming out of that final corner, the car behind will get a nice run on them down that main straight. And if they can't pass on that long straight with DRS, then we're having trouble.
We ain't got no hope, have we? Question from Conman81. As an American who would wake up at around 7 a.m. to watch, why should I wake up and watch this Sunday? Is it worth it to watch Max fly away? Okay, here we go then.
Here we go.
I am F1 salesman right now, and also P1 salesman. The first reason you should watch on Sunday is because we're live on Twitch, back at it once again for the watch along. So no matter how boring a race might be, we will be live on Twitch giving all our reactions, all of our stupid voice changes, anything to just keep you entertained. We are the nice second sort of secondhand screen, the accompaniment that you need. We are the tomato ketchup to your fries. Anything that you need, Formula One chatting, fans, friends, whatever, we are there. Matt P1 Tommy on Twitch. Boom, good advertising. Second, we've got potentially some rain coming. It's in the air. It could just have a little thunderstorm, a little localized shower. Boom, race changes completely. Fernando Alonso pits for more mediums, then goes on to intermediates afterwards. And then me and Tommy will be discussing once again why Fernando Alonso could have won the Spanish Grand Prix. So that's number two. Number three, it actually looks a bit closer than FP1 did. Surely qualifying could be very interesting. I am, for one, very interested to see if that last corner gets done flat by anybody, i.e. Max Verstappen, because when he does and goes 5 seconds clear of everyone else, perhaps I might change my spiel. Can you give me any more than those 3 points, Tommy? The stops, 2 to 3 stops, yeah. Potentially. That's number four. Throw that in, strategy. Any more?
Yeah, just look at the gap between every midfield runner. There's going to be so much more. Unfortunately for, you know, Red Bull, even if they can't be caught, there's going to be so much close racing between all the other teams, because I could not pick who is best of the midfield in that. I don't think you can this year. And the way the track is going to be very, very close in qualifying. So we might even get a mixed up grid as well. And there's also predicted rain on Saturday, so that could also mix the grid up. So, yeah, don't give up. We're here.
Don't give up. We're holding on, and we're here every step of the way on YouTube, on the podcast, on Twitch. No matter what, we are here for you because we love you. Right. And the final thing is that Williams looked really slow.
Yes, bless him.
Just not working out this weekend. I just looked at it and I was like, the 19th and 20th, thought I should probably mention that. Also, AlphaTauri didn't have a great FP2 at the end as well, after looking quite promising in FP1. They were at the bottom end of that, although it is very close. Really looking forward to tomorrow. Tommy, we are going to wrap it up there. What is your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that 5 minutes ago was 33 minutes past five. Fernando Alonso to win, 33. Look, it's all there.
Wow, that just blew my mind. 7:30. Okay, so it's 17:38 right now.
Oh,
5:38. Okay, it's now turned 5:39, but when I said it, 5:38. 38 minus 5, 33.
Also, my Riverside is saying 99% uploaded. One third of that is 33. One third of that is 33%. 33, Fernando Alonso to win.
Okay, that's the place that we record for the 99% of people that don't know what a riverside is.
So they will.
We're actually recording this on the riverside, having a nice beer and chatting away. I'm trying to find other links here.
Grace was born 14. 14:33. Fernando Alonso's race number.
For 27 minutes. I've missed it. I couldn't do maths quick enough. I saw the 6 second go past and then miss. Anyway, we are losing the plot here. We'll see you tomorrow live on Twitch. And also we're doing our podcast on YouTube, as always, throughout the weekend and into next as well. So thank you very much, Tommy. My final thoughts are, please, Spain, you've got it. Just don't bottle it. You've got a better layout. You've got some weather coming. It should be a banger. Get me that prediction point of it being a worldie. And we'll see you very soon, i.e. tomorrow. Bye!
Bye!
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.